It is the Where Eagles Dare podcast with Lee and Tubby, back to you on a Thursday night with our NFC championship game preview. Thank you for everyone for being here, whether you're watching on YouTube, Twitch, or Facebook Live, and also to all of our podcast listeners on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and so many other providers. I am Lee. With me always is Tubby. If you have any questions or comments, you can always email us at our email address, lee.bird, that's lee.bird.eaglesdare@gmail.com. And yes, I said it. I wanted so bad to talk about it on Tuesday when we did our recap of the Giants game, but I had to hold back. Because if I'd have started talking about the NFC Championship game, that's all we would have talked about. And we wouldn't have recapped the Giants win, and that was important to do. But we are back in the NFC Championship game. It is going to be Sunday, January 29th at 3 o'clock on Fox. Eagles at home at the Link versus the San Francisco 49ers. Probably their toughest opponent this season, in my opinion, and we'll see how it goes. But this is what's crazy about the Eagles, and I wanted to point it out. We talked about it a little bit on Tuesday. The Eagles have now, with this appearance, have the most NFC championship appearances since 2000. They were in 2000, 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005, 2009, 2018, and 2023. The only one who has more is the New England Patriots, of course, because we know they pretty much dominated that early part. But the Eagles have the most NFC championship appearances, not AFC. But we have in the NFC the most conference game. It's just an amazing feat for them to do it. But here's the thing, is that I actually thought about going to the division title, even by myself. I thought, it's 8-9 hour drive from here. Man, I should go, man. Because tickets for the division playoff against the Giants were about $250 in the nosebleeds in the upper deck and about $450 to $500 in the 100 sections, not the lower area, but the club area. But now, holy smoke, this is a great meme here, just getting pummeled by Ticketmaster, if you're trying to purchase tickets for the NFC Championship game without going into poverty right now. It is unbelievable. We're talking the best seats, average is around $1,000 a seat.
Yeah.
The nosebleeds somewhere in the realm of like $500 to $600. It's unreal what these companies do, because they went on sale on Tuesday. Nobody could get tickets. So many Eagles fans reported that they went to Ticketmaster, they got in the queue, and came away with nothing at face value, which is just what Ticketmaster is these days. That's why they're on trial. We could have a whole episode about Ticketmaster. I don't want to go down that road, but we all know what this is, and we've all dealt with it. If you've ever tried to get tickets for anything, it's the Ticketmaster having no problem with bots coming in, buying up all the tickets, and then selling them on the secondary market for five times the markup, which is unbelievable. But I did see this week,
price gouging at his finest.
It's unbelievable. I did see this week that Darius Slay's wife was able to get her hands on two pairs of tickets with the family thing, and she actually put out on her Twitter. By the way, Darius Slay's wife is just an amazing person. She does all kinds of stuff where she shows up at Eagles tailgates. She sits with the fans. She's very a very active fan, as well as being the wife of one of the bigger players on the team. But she put on her Twitter, anybody that retweeted her tweet about the tickets was into a drawing, and she was able to pull two pairs of tickets to some deserving Eagles fans. So somebody gets to go to the game. You know what? The thing is, the game will be packed. They will be packed full of Eagles fans without a doubt.
Of course.
Because it's huge, and they will pay the money. They will pay the money, and they will be there. And it won't be just for the wealthy fans. There are people who will put a paycheck down in order to go to this game. I'm not willing to do that and then drive 9 hours, but a lot of people are.
A slight deviation. Sorry to do this, but yeah. I was watching Real Madrid against Atleti Madrid today in the Copa del Rey semifinals. And obviously it's Madrid versus Madrid. Man, the Atletico fans were only able to buy 600 tickets in a 60,000 person stadium.
Wow.
So just to show, man, how vicious tickets can be. But anyway, definitely price gouging for the NFC Championship against a huge matchup against, Niners fans are coast to coast. So they know they're everywhere, and they know that they can get their money for this, even if it's just from Eagles fans, really.
To be honest with you, I know that the Niner fans are, to me, the Niner fans, for the most part, since the 80s, has always been like more of a fashion statement. They're like just below Cowboy fans to me. They just wear the Niners. Now, there's some true Niners fans. I'm not going to slag all Niners fans. But let's just be honest. The Eagles fan base is more diehard, in my opinion, than the Niners fans who if they lose, go, oh, shucks. We lost. You know,
remember the Niners had those gold jackets back in the day when they were winning. You had the fancy gold, the iconic, you know, Joe Montana or Steve Young with the gold jacket on, you know, so with the fashion statement. There you go.
Growing up in the 80s, everybody's a fair weather fan, especially back in those days. So you had the 49ers and Cowboys. Well, Cowboys were doing all right in the 70s, but everybody wore Niners gear all through the 80s. Yeah, everybody wore Niners gear, and it didn't care. They weren't real Niners fans. They were just adopting it because Joe Montana was there and they were winning, or they were Bears fans. They always had Laker gear or Celtic gear on. And I grew up in Detroit where the Pistons were winning two championships in the 80s, and people were still wearing Lakers and Celtics and Knicks gear because that's not true fans to me. But I think the Eagles are going to be in force there. And what's interesting is this came out this week is because they were interviewing Deebo Samuel about going into the link. And this is what he had to say. He said, we know it's going to be loud, but no stadium is as loud as ours. No, that's not true. They're at home, NFC Championship. They're going to be riled up, but we don't feed in too much into that. This is circulating around social media, and the Eagles fans are looking at this as challenge accepted. You know, you want to challenge us. Let's be honest. Their Candlestick Park or whatever it is now, Levi Stadium, whatever it is now, it changes with the wind. I think it's Levi now. It's not as loud as Seattle. It's not as loud as KC. To say that your stadium is the loudest, that's a bit of a stretch. And I don't claim the Eagles to be the loudest stadium in the NFL, but it does get pretty intense, and the atmosphere is great, especially along these lines. So we're counting on the fans to be a big part of this game, because when you've got a seventh-round draft pick, last pick of the draft, playing in this game in his first NFC Championship game, we need him rattled. We need him to not be able to concentrate. So we need
Deebo, who has been to a Super Bowl before and an NFC Championship game last year, he may not be rattled, but like you just pointed out, your rookie quarterback, because he's going to be the one under pressure to make sure everything is communicated to the whole team. So, yeah, Deebo, somebody only just has to listen. Yeah, sure, you may not care, and you get the ball on handoffs and stuff like that and whatever. Most team goes off a silent count anyway, so the crowd noise hasn't been a factor for most teams in a while because they just go off the ball. Most teams just, you know, that little tap from the guard, go off the ball. It's very rare the quarterback is on cadence unless they're trying to draw or something like that. But it's the point is can Brock Purdy withstand that environment? He's going to hear some things he's never heard before about himself.
That's true. And can he accept it? I actually saw him do a video. He's a very devout Christian. And you know, God bless and all that, because I'm a Christian too. But the thing is that the Eagles fans are not going to treat him with much Christianity, love, and respect. They're just not going to.
It's not even cross their mind.
He's probably going to hear things he hasn't heard.
His religious Rock Purdy's religious preference will not cross their mind.
No, or the respect.
He's the opposing team. That's good enough for Philadelphia fans.
I tell you, another player that's going to get it is their defensive end. I can't pronounce his name. Omawahu.
He got arrested.
Yes, he got arrested for domestic violence, suspected domestic abuse, minor domestic abuse, and so they're going to allow him to play in this game. His first name is Charles. I can pronounce that part, but so they're going to let him play in this game. Which I don't have a problem with him playing in this game. To be honest with you, he's not been found guilty of anything. The NFL had been such knee-jerk reactionaries to this stuff when somebody even just gets arrested for it, that they would suspend somebody and then find out later that's nothing. There's no charges filed. So, but that isn't going to affect the Eagles fans. This guy is going to hear so much stuff. So it's going to be a lot of fun if you're there. They already, people drawing up signs, people got this stuff ready to go, but it doesn't affect the game itself so much. That's all the noise surrounding the game, which is important. What is really important is the game itself, and how are the Eagles going to match up against the 49ers and vice versa, and what do they bring to this game, and how close will it be? well, how intense will it be? Well, I'll tell you that one thing we know for sure, which is great news, Lane Johnson and Avante Maddox both have been limited participants in practice this week. Lane, of course, is rehabbing the groin injury and the torn abductor muscle that he's not going to have surgery on until after the season. But Avante Maddox has his toe injury that he's had for several weeks, has not been able to play, but is on track to play in the NFC Championship game if everything stays trending. He was limited the first 2 days of practice, but it looks like, man, that Avante could be out there. And if that's the case, you put Avante back in the slot. You got Bradberry and Slay at corners, and then you got C.J. Gardner-Johnson moving back to safety. Rotating, I guarantee you they'll have Blankenship coming in to spell everybody, to spell Avante and to spell C.J. So you're going to get the best Eagles team out there if these two guys are healthy, which you can't express enough how important it is to have all the horses out there.
These guys are good tacklers, man. You can expect one of the strong suits or what Niners game plan is to get the ball into play as quickly as they can and let their playmakers make plays. And having good tacklers out there like Maddox, man, is a world of a difference. They're going to be expected to make a lot of tackles on the day. You got Christian McCaffrey coming out of either side and, you know, all over the place. They got guys all over the place. So having a veteran, you know, over a rookie, you know, it's little things like that. A veteran over a rookie is a big game. You know, Reed can tackle his ass off. He's a solid player. He's still a rookie, though. So having Maddox, who is, you know, somewhat proven that he can hold it down, and it's just part of that defense of dogs that we have, man. You know, that show that when he plays, it seems like the Eagles' defense plays better. Unless we're playing against the Giants, and that doesn't matter at all.
Well, that's the thing, is that this is a far cry from the Giants team. Right. I mean, we had to worry about Saquon Barkley, but really not too much else on that team that is dynamic. I mean, they have decent players, but nobody dynamic. That this 49ers team is loaded with just talent from start to top to bottom, the receiving position, tight end, fullback even, with Juszczyk is somebody you got to watch out for. So we mentioned McCaffrey, but a lot of people forget about Juszczyk, who's such a big part of their offense and can be dangerous blocking out of the backfield. So there's a lot to think of. As far as the Eagles go, as far as their one wide receiver, we've got A.J. Brown, who had an issue with a nagging injury at the Giants game. He was also really frustrated about his lack of usage. But, you know, that's just a matter of A.J. being A.J. He said something today in a press conference. He's like, he knows he's an impact player. And if he gets the ball, you know, 11 times in a game, he's going to want it 12. He just always wants it one more time. Something to that effect is what he said. He's like, he's always going to want the ball. And I think in the second half, what he probably failed to realize was the Eagles weren't going to open that game up any more than it was opened. They were just trying to ride out the game. And I think that frustrated him a little bit because he didn't get his yet. And I know that he wanted his in that Giant game. And then you get the combination with the hammy injury, and it was frustrating to him. But everything looks like that's okay. I think it's as much ado about nothing. I'm sure people will make a big fuss over it. AJ is an Eagle. He is glad to be here. He is who he is. And a lot of impact players will act this way. You just got to be able to treat them the right way to get it going.
It was still just like bad timing because you're up 28-0 and you're thinking about yourself. It's still something a little troubling about that, because what tends to happen is now you see when you have a wide receiver speak up, what you tend to happen is the quarterback forces him the ball. Right now, what the Eagles did, they played within what was open. Devontae Smith was open, so therefore they went to him. Like, just why can't you just be happy for Devontae killing it and your running backs killing it? Like why you can't have your, you know, were your running backs upset the day you caught three touchdowns against the Steelers? Were they moping on the sidelines when you caught your three touchdowns? Look, man, you're up 28-0 playoffs on your way to the NFC Championship game. You should be thinking about the team. The only thing I saw that I'm sure pissed him off when Sirianni like rubbed him on the top of his head, and he kind of like, man, get off me, man. Because, you know, you gotta understand, it's like AJ, you know, Nick Sirianni, don't touch my head. I will snap you and like, don't sun me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still I'm still a grown man over here. Don't pat me on the head. I don't need that from you. You can touch me on the shoulder pads or something, but don't like, I don't know if you saw that, and AJ kind of like snatched away from like a child almost because that's how you're treating him. That's a grown big dude, man. Yeah. So anyway, I still thought it was wrong place, wrong time for him to think about himself. If anything, just say, you know, a more mature veteran will say, hey man, get the other guys in, then get Jalen some more carries. Some more reps in case I go down in the game. You know, see what other young guys are out there. Get those guys some rep. We're up 28-0. Let me heal up. Let me rest up and go on so I can complain when it really matters. And I can see Diggs being frustrated with Josh Allen. And that's why Josh doesn't even look up, because he knows that Diggs is rightfully frustrated. So Josh doesn't even look up. He gets it, whatever. AJ Brown, I'm sorry. It was just completely uncalled for. And it's just an unnecessary headline to be going into the NFC Championship game with such a blowout.
It is. But I'm thankful that it's really the only one. It's a little bit TO-esque. I get it.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not a great time. But I think that, honestly, it's a heat of the moment thing. I'm going to give AJ the benefit of the doubt and go, look, he's had time to reflect on it. I don't think he's going to be in practice whining about it. I think that, you know, Sirianni showed up to a press conference with a dynamic duo shirt with Devontae and AJ on it both. That said something to me, because that means that he's given his receivers support. And I think I think AJ knows that. And the way he talked at the press conference, he knows.
They're fine. Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any beef, but I do think Jalen could just subsequently force him the ball, and it could just be, you just never know. It was just something that the Eagles hadn't been through all year. We hadn't had a diva moment all year, and then now it's like the worst time to even have it be a story. Like, I wake up today, first thing I see is diva.
Right.
So whether you're defending it or not, it's wasted energy on something that should have just never been, based off of the performance of the Eagles last Saturday. So that's just what's so disappointing about it, because it was just pointless.
Good point. Before we get into like the really breakdown of the game, let's take a look at the tail of the tape between these two teams. And I tell you what, we've done a lot of these this year where we looked at the statistics across the board. This by far, now the Eagles lead in a lot of the categories, but this by far is the closest I think I've seen in a long time between two teams. So we're looking at points scored per game. The Eagles third in the league at 28.1. The Niners sixth in the league at 26.5. Points allowed per game. The Eagles are seventh with 20.2, which is very good, but the Niners are first in the league at 16.3. Yards per game, gained per game. The Eagles are third in the league at 389 yards. The Niners fifth with 365. Passing yards per game, 241 for the Eagles. It's ninth in the league. For the Niners, it's 226, 13th in the league. Rushing yards, the Eagles with a slight edge here too, 147 yards per game, which is fifth in the league. The Niners, 138 yards per game, which is eighth in the league. Time of possession, a total time really over the course of the season. The Eagles are 10th in the league in time of possession. The Niners third, which is, says a lot about how their defense gets people off their field. Their offense stays on the field. Third down efficiency, the Eagles 45.9% for fourth in the league. The Niners 45% for sixth in the league. You see a trend here. Here's a big difference right here. Sacks, of course, we know the Eagles number one in the league in sacks with 69 total sacks on the season. And this is in the regular season, by the way. And in the Niners, 44 sacks with just seventh in the league. Interceptions, the Eagles fourth in the league with 17. The Niners 20 interceptions are number one in the league. You look at the stats across the board as far as Brock Purdy's regular season stats. He only played in 9 games. They've won them, and he's thrown for 1,300 yards, not counting the playoff game. He's thrown for 13 touchdowns. They actually had played in 2 playoff games. That's not included here. He's only had 4 interceptions and a quarterback rating of 107. Since McCaffrey has been there in 11 games, he's rushed for 746 yards for a 4.7 yards per carry average, 6 TDs. And then if you look at McCaffrey's receiving numbers, he's got 464 yards receiving, which is just unreal what he's done for that team. And I said it when they got him, and I totally believe it. Had the Niners not made that trade, I don't think they would be here right now. Now, I know they have good players with Ayuk, and they have Debo and Kittle, But they weren't looking like this team before McCaffrey. They were looking okay. Well, you can go back to the record. They just have not been a stellar team. But since they've gotten McCaffrey, it's made a difference. But let's also talk about their rookie quarterback. This is something I didn't know until I saw this today. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy has not thrown an interception on his last 59 pass attempts in the playoffs. That's most ever by a rookie in the NFL playoff history without throwing a pick. So no picks yet in two playoff games. And this is a guy that I just love this thing. Just add it on because Saban did the same thing to Jalen Hurts. Alabama coach Nick Saban told him, you're below average in height. Your arm strength is whatever. Your accuracy is average. And yet this guy is in the NFC Championship game along with Jalen Hurts. Let's take a quick look at the Eagles' regular season numbers. We know what Jalen Hurts has done this season. He missed two games, and he still threw for 3,701 yards. Unbelievable. 22 touchdowns passing. He also, Jalen Hurts also had 13 touchdowns on the ground rushing the ball. Miles Sanders, number one running back in on the Eagles team with 1,269 yards and 11 touchdowns. And then we've got A.J. Brown with 1,496 yards, 11 touchdowns, and Devontae Smith with 1,196 yards and 7 touchdowns. This is, when you look at all of these stats, regular season and what they've done in the playoffs, these are, without a doubt, the two best teams in the NFC. I don't think anybody can really argue with that at this point. I mean, would you agree with that? Yeah. That these are the two best teams in the NFC?
Yeah, absolutely. When I saw the slides, you know, of the rankings, it was almost like, you know, when you put on Madden and you're picking teams and you're trying to pick the bars to line up, you know, to make it an equal matchup. I think only seeing like one stat outside of the top 10 that was, you know, for the 49ers in one statistical category. But hey, the Eagles are top 10 in everything, man. So I still think, even with all that said, I still think the biggest increase, or the thing that helped the Niners the most of how they gotten there, to me, it hasn't been because of Brock Purdy. It's been because of Christian McCaffrey. If you take McCaffrey off of there, if it's just him with Eli Mitchell, I'm not even sure how the rest of that season goes. But McCaffrey made a splash almost immediately. He's definitely always going to warrant a lot of attention, and it just helps for a lot of dump-offs. You look at a lot of Brock Purdy's stats. He has some solid touchdowns, but a lot of them are the athlete's ability to take it the distance. McCaffrey taking a 2 yard out, 25 yards, or something like that, or really explosive plays. The Deebo Samuel play against Seattle, where you think he's about to get tackled and all of a sudden he's gone. We don't have that type of player. You know, that's the difference between the Eagles. That's the only thing that we don't have. We don't have a guy that breaks for 77 or we don't have that guy. AJ gets caught all year. He's been getting caught all year. Devontae hasn't broke away all year, except for, you know, little burst, but Sanders hasn't hit a home run all year. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that, even like that Saquon run, where you just like a home run, even if you don't score, where it's just like a big, big, big run. The Eagles are just methodical about their offense, man. But you know, that's the one thing the Niners do have. They got guys that can really just take it to the house. IU, take it to the house. Samuel, take it to the house. You know, and Mitchell, if you give him a seam, he's very quick, take it to the house, but not as much, but McCaffrey as well. So you have three like home run hitters. Mm-hmm. But the Eagles have a lot of base hitters and doubles. You know, we got guys that get singles and doubles, man. And it's worked so far for us, and we've wore teams down when we needed long drives. We were able to put together that 6 to 7 minute drive. But yeah, man, I think this is an equal matchup. I really do. I don't know, man. We still got a lot more to talk about.
Well, but yeah, I mean, you're on the right track.
I like my guys, man.
Yeah, I do too. It's the challenge that they pose is something like the Eagles have never seen. So let's talk about the 49ers offense against the Eagles defense, like you started there. So to me, the guys to really watch out for in this game, you know, we talked about McCaffrey, and the reason McCaffrey is so good, he puts up a lot of numbers, but you have to account for him, and so that makes everybody else more dangerous. We know that the Eagles' weakness tends to be the 49ers' strength, and that's a concern because they go over the middle a lot. Ayuk and Kittle will kill you over the middle, and we tend to drop our linebackers into coverage over the middle, and they don't cover tight ends and fast wide receivers very well. They just don't. Right. We just haven't all year. So it intrigues me to see what Gannon will do to stop that. Will he continue to just run the same old thing and run that zone and let these guys just find seams in the zone? Because I tell you what, if you do that, Brock Purdy, like you said, he doesn't throw downfield a ton, but he will throw the hell out of a tight end seam down the middle and or a slant to Ayuk or crossing routes. He'll do that all day long. And when that's not there, then he'll go to McCaffrey and do that little dump-off safety valve, and McCaffrey is just as dangerous as a safety valve.
Right.
Debo is going to be a challenge just from the standpoint of a screen pass here and there that they're really going to have to watch out for. But to be honest, I think their other wide receiver, Jennings, and Debo will probably have a hard time getting a lot of stats in this game. I think they'll do okay. But I think that Bradbury, Slay tend to cover the outsides. Ayuk roams around a lot, and that's why I think he's more dangerous. And he's the guy that you know is going to catch something. So I always tend to look for where Ayuk is on the field before Debo. Debo is only dangerous after he catches the ball, but Ayuk, right, man, always comes down with it on a key third down. So him and Kittle really are the two I worry about the most in this game against the Eagles defense. I think that the Eagles will do what they've always done, but they're facing a very tough offensive line. They're going to bring Hassan Reddick on a 4 or 5 man rush, try to give a little bit of cushion, but stay up on the wide receivers and play the two deep safeties. And the problem with that is like we said, I don't think you need two deep safeties in this game unless Purdy is going to throw 40 yards downfield, which I have not really seen him do a lot this year. Yeah. So it's interesting.
You know, honestly, you know, man, the defense has kept them in so many games. How about this? I'll say this in short. If they play us like they play the Cowboys, I like our chances. Mm. You're going to tell me that, think about this, they're burning Dak Prescott's jersey and he still had a chance with 3 minutes and 4 seconds. You're telling me that Jalen goes out to play the worst game of his life and he still has 3 minutes and 4 seconds to tie or win this game? I'll take it. That's what people don't want to talk about. How I thought the Niners played horrendous against the Cowboys. Think about it. Dak played that bad of a game. They managed one touchdown.
Yeah, no, I agree.
What makes them so impressive? If the Eagles do that, if the Eagles have two additional possessions, you know, Dak threw both of them on his side, I believe.
Yeah.
But then what did it get out? He had the McCaffrey touchdown, but it comes off of that. Other than that, Brock Purdy just survived. You know, kind of like the Ray Lewis quote. Did you see the one when he was talking to when they were transitioning from like Trent Dilfert? I think it was like Elvis Gerback. And he was like, you don't have to win it. Just don't lose it.
Right.
And I think that's the advice Purdy has gotten. But there is a reason why Brock Purdy was drafted last. We're going to figure that out on Sunday. There's something in it. There's something in everybody. There's something in every quarterback that you can expose. Every quarterback. Every single one. Even the GOATs. Brady. What were the key to the Giants' 2 victories against Brady in his prime? Just get to him. Shut the whole offense down. Both Giants game against 9-7 Giants teams in the Super Bowl. Shut them down with Justin Tuck and Michael Strahan and Jason Pierre-Paul creating absolute havoc.
Right.
And then you have the catch with the helmet, but they keep it close the whole time. This is with Randy Moss. This is a high-powered offense.
Yeah.
Still shut them down because you can get to them. The Eagles' strength, I think, is their weakness. We can get to the quarterback. That's their worst nightmare for the 49ers, in my opinion. It's the absolute worst nightmare. Because imagine if Brock Purdy goes down. They have nothing. They have nowhere to go.
Yeah.
If you look at Jason's Stidham, I'm just all over the place, right? Stidham was for the Raiders. That was a game that they needed to win. Because the Eagles were playing well, they needed to win out. So the Niners took it the rest of the season serious. They went to overtime with the Raiders.
Yep.
David Blow came out against the Cardinals and hit A.J. Green for a 77-yarder. They struggled against that bum team, bum backup quarterbacks. You get to play the Seahawks twice. I'm just breaking it off.
I get you. I think you're taking them a little too lightly. I'm gonna play devil's advocate here.
I just think he hasn't done anything to really jump right off the screen for me to fear him. Is that, I'm not gonna fear anybody for no reason because the media says do it.
Yeah,
I want him to show me. Okay. And I think that he's gotten by off the defense. Like I said, they put up one touchdown in the second half. Anybody else would be considered a meh performance, but if you're riding high, then you do it, man.
I hear you. But I also look at it from a different perspective. I think the Cowboys were the toughest defense that Purdy's had faced up to this point. And he didn't turn the ball over in the face of immense pressure. The Cowboys play a massively different defense than the Eagles do. And so he faced pressure with Parsons and Lawrence, and they didn't get to him.
Diggs dropped a wide open pick.
Again. So
that means he's capable.
Hold on.
I'm just saying.
I'm just saying we're going down a dangerous road if you think that this guy is not going to be able to do anything against the Eagles defense. I do think he will be capable. There's too many weapons out there. As for him being the Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick, we could talk all day about why quarterbacks get drafted last. Look at what they're doing with this kid from Kentucky, Levis. When we know who the best quarterbacks in the league are, yet year after year they trot out these people like Will Levis and say, no, this is the best guy. Bull crap. So guys like Purdy, who like we saw with the Alabama Saban, he doesn't have the arm, he doesn't have the accuracy. This kid's doing it because he's not in the mold of the typical prototypical quarterback, but he has got the skills. You can't deny what he's done, regardless of their schedule, what he's done. They have not lost a game since mid-October.
I'm gonna give you this great conversation, right? Because this is what's been going on about Jalen Hurts. You can put anybody in that 49ers offense and they will just be doing just fine. Against the Niners.
Well,
you can put anybody back there.
True.
And with this defense and with the Kittle and the guys all around him, all I'm saying is that I can see if he was like, you know, you got young quarterbacks that bust on the scene and they really drive their team forward. Like what happened after like the Mahomes? You had that same team, but then you have Mahomes and they went to the moon because of him, like just him. I don't think they're here because of Brock Purdy. I think they're here because they have a good team and they picked up Christian McCaffrey, which to me is the biggest deal. I'm not doubting Purdy. I know Purdy played well. I know he played against Jalen in college, but one thing is consistent about him, that Iowa State lost a hell of a lot of games as him as the starting quarterback, particularly away. He doesn't have a winning he has a winning record. I'm just talking about the history.
You can't compare Iowa State to Oklahoma in their programs because Iowa State's always had a weaker team.
They were 5-4 when they played. I'm talking about before they played Oklahoma. Yeah. He had lost 3 or 4 games to somebody that wasn't Oklahoma.
I can't really judge somebody based on a bad Iowa State defense. Yeah, they played each other, and Jalen won 41-40. I saw all that this year.
National championship game,
I hold no credence to that game because it's just the quarterbacks. The rest of the players are totally different. But I'm not saying Brock Purdy brought him here. I don't think Garoppolo, if he was in this position right now, would be doing as well as Purdy. He didn't. He didn't have a great year.
He took him to the Super Bowl himself before.
But
Jimmy Garoppolo has done what we assume Brock Purdy can't. But that's a fact, though. Right. No matter how much we feel about Jimmy Garoppolo, he somehow end up in the Super Bowl just like guys like Jared Goff. What I'm saying is you don't have to be a great quarterback to make it. Those things aren't like synonymous. Like you don't have to. Sometimes you could do it two ways. Sometimes you could be like the Rams, and that's all you need is a quarterback to come in that can throw and give you what you need. I think Brock Purdy is just, and I'm not underestimating. That's never been the case. It's just show me something. You know, I know the Niners are good, but I'm not willing to. I don't know what I'm afraid of when it comes to Brock Purdy. So he can throw the ball 3 or 4 yards. Maybe I just like my defense to get to him and really manage the game out a little bit.
I'm not saying he's the second coming of Tom Brady like other people are trying to say, which is just really stupid to say. The defense, without that defense and without McCaffrey, this team wouldn't be where they are right now. But the problem is, is they do have that defense. They do have McCaffrey. They do have a ton of offensive weapons. So all they really do is need a guy that's adequate back there. And whether the Eagles can get to him or not, if the offensive line gives him 3 seconds to be able to throw slants or be able to get the ball loose just within that range and the Eagles can't tackle, this could be a really bad ball game. Now, if you look at the 49ers schedule, and I did a lot of studying of this, you're right. They struggled against Arizona. You know, they won 38-13, but they did give up that big bomb. They struggled against Vegas. They won 37-34. They beat Washington. If you look at their since they started this winning streak, they've beaten the Rams, the Chargers, the Cardinals, the Saints, the Dolphins, the Buccaneers, the Seahawks, Washington, Las Vegas, and Arizona. Two of those teams are, or three of those are playoff teams, but really Tampa Bay and Seattle aren't really as that good. You look at what Seattle did. So they've not had a really great strength of schedule. People would talk about the Eagles' strength of schedule. I think the 49ers having a great, but they're winning, and they're continuing to win. So I worry about that from a defensive standpoint. Now, I think that the Eagles, with the right game plan, have the skill positions and everybody healthy to make this a great game defensively. So let's look at offensively what the Eagles got. First of all, I want to point out, if this is Jalen Hurts at 24 years old and Brock Purdy at 23, it's going to be the youngest quarterback championship matchup in conference championship history, which is really cool to see. A lot of the young guys coming into the league and taking over it. Now, looking at what the Eagles can do on offense, we know who they have. But one of the things that I notice about the 49ers defensive scheme, they have a base 4-3. However, I don't have any still images. Go watch the tape. They run 70% of their snaps, which is ungodly, with almost all 11 guys at the line of scrimmage. They usually have one safety, maybe two that's 5 yards off, but they bring their linebackers up. They bring their corners up on the receivers to bump them every single time. This, to me, reminds me a lot in game one when I was at Detroit watching the Lions defense when they had everybody healthy. And it really frustrated the Eagles. Granted, they scored a ton of points that game, scored 34 points. But it was frustrating to the point where Jalen would back up and all their receivers are getting bumped at the line of scrimmage. Their linebackers come up to the line. You don't know where the blitz is coming from. And Fred Warner, to me, is a difference maker at linebacker because he can back up so quickly into coverage that when you think that you've got an open middle, it will close in a heartbeat. It's just, now we could pick on their corners, because here's the thing what that leaves them susceptible to. If you can get those receivers free, and so their Eagles are going to have to rely on some motion, getting these guys free, if you get them past the 5 yards downfield, they can get behind that defense very quickly. That's what you talked about with the Arizona bomb. The one thing that San Francisco defensively is susceptible to is the deep pass. One of the things I've loved about our Eagles is that they adapt their offensive scheme to their opponent, and we've seen it time and time again. One week, it's running the ball for 268 yards against the Giants. The next week, it can be a 350-yard passing performance with both of our wide receivers with 100-yard games and a couple touchdowns each. We've seen this. So I really believe that if the Eagles are going to win this game offensively, they're going to need to get A.J. and Devontae behind that defense as quick as possible so they can start having Jalen air it out. They start doing that, and Jalen using his legs when needed. They start doing that, you're going to see those linebackers back up a little bit. You're going to see more nickel coverages coming into the game. If the Eagles can be successful in the first half with some deep passes, it will change the game for the Niners defense. The thing is, the Cowboys couldn't do it. They tried. Right. They got CeeDee downfield a couple times, but it was never enough of a threat that the 49ers had to bail from that aggressive line of scrimmage defense. And
he should have hit a few. I think if Dak could have hit a few of those, because the ones I think CeeDee, he was wide open. He threw like in the middle of the field instead of to the right side. I mean, he's almost gone if he catches that. Now, I agree, man. They definitely play a unique, uptight, really in your face, basically like a high risk, high reward defense. I just realized, like, man, teams that were considered to be bad or poor weren't like completely blown out by these guys, is my point. Like, to me, that Raiders game is the most telling, because this team, I mean, this team is considered a very, very, very bad team, you know, overall, you know, throughout the year, and they still gave up 34 points to them. I was like, wow. I mean, to a guy that first started the year, gave up 34 points, you know. Now, granted, we have Devontae Adams, but we have A.J. Brown. Devontae got the ball, I think he had like 12 catches that game, just a monster game. They just could not stop Devontae. Another weakness for the Niners is, or not in a weakness, but can they play from behind? They've always had these slow, methodical games, but they've never really had to play from behind or grind it out. They've kind of played with the lead, you know, all the time, or like, or down three or so like that. But they've never, like I say, if they come out against us, I don't think Dallas defense is better than the Eagles overall. I don't. I think we have a better secondary than they have. And I think our line speaks for itself. We had the most sacks in the league. So I'm not going to put any Dallas Cowboys over my Philadelphia Eagles line. I don't know if anybody from the Cowboys has had more sacks than Reddick this year. Did Parsons have more sacks than Reddick this year?
No, but my point wasn't that Dallas was a better defense. It was
It's
a different defense. They play a different scheme that could be more suitable to stopping the Niners than a shell coverage. Because, again, Gannon worries me going into this game. It does worry me what he's going
to cover. I think if we can get in that backfield. Now, I think Eagles are more disruptive than people give them. I don't want to say give them credit. Number one, they're number one in sacks, so we see that there. I think if we can do – how about this? I think Daniel Jones is better than Brock Purdy. And look what we did to Daniel Jones almost all year. Anytime we've had Daniel Jones, but then you go, well, is the Giants line good enough? Well, then sometimes it comes down to just decision-making and just a team just being better. I think the Eagles, man, really have an opportunity early on to really jump on the Niners and make them think for a second. They've been kind of playing with house money. Because mind you, if Brock Purdy has the worst game of his life, it won't even make the news tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Like that's the joy of being Brock Purdy. It doesn't even matter. He can go out there and throw four picks. All they're going to say is the Eagles were lucky they played Brock Purdy. So we can fear him today and say he's so fucking great. But then if he turned around and has a bad game, he'll say he's a rookie. Jalen Hurts proved this year that it does not matter how many games you win. If somebody does not think that you should be there, it doesn't matter. It's almost like it was like a ha ha ha. Because Jalen lost one game. It's almost like, damn, it's like the most, besides going undefeated, it's the most obnoxious record you can have as a quarter, you know, as lose one game. And I think they really crushed a lot of people's spirits to the point where that's why it's so hard to give Jalen that credit. But they can still find room for other quarterbacks that should be in his spot. I don't know if you saw even after the Giants game, they was like, well, Daniel Jones was on the Eagles. They would have did the same. Name a time in your life that you've seen a quarterback go 15-1 and they wanted to talk about replacing him with some other quarterback. You've never heard it because it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So it's this constant just bias, man. I'm not disrespecting Brock Purdy. I just think if they do win, man, if it's because of him, wow, they've really earned it. They've really earned it. That's all. Yeah. They would have really earned it. But I guess on the backside with Gannon, we've made a lot of mediocre quarterbacks look really, really, really good at times. And that's my only fear. It's not Purdy. It's just any quarterbacks looks good against us. Any quarterback, Heineke, you name it, they look good against us. So I don't know, man.
I've said it all year, and the thing is he can play some, like the game against the Giants, he can play such a solid defensive scheme where he mixes up his coverages. I'm just hoping that he's kind of gotten the best out of this team right now, where they get it at this point of the season, and they know where they're supposed to be, and there's no, I think when Josiah Scott came in, I think it did affect the chemistry of the defense.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have Slay having to look out for him, people having to look out where he's at and who he's covering, and it throws the defense off when you have to watch out what somebody else is doing and take care of him. So it does make a difference. But like I said, I think that Purdy should not win this game for the 49ers, but their other talent on the field could make a difference. I believe in this defense from a talent standpoint. I do believe they're more talented than Dallas. I think they're the best defense with talent. Wise on the field. It's just that you've got the other side of it. We're seeing probably to me, the best defense we're going to see. Better, it has to be. It's the number one defense in the league. With you got Bosa, we haven't even talked about yet. It's going to be lining up against an injured Lane Johnson. You know, how does that go? You know, Lane Johnson doesn't give up sacks. Do you think he wants, even injured, to give up anything to Bosa? So it's going to make a difference. Can the Eagles run the ball? The 49ers will give up 3.4 yards a carry, you know, average, and the Eagles expect to run. I do believe the Eagles' pass-happy attack will benefit them in this game and will make a difference. One thing that you mentioned, though, that I do believe will also make a difference, and it's just, I don't care what anybody says, motivation and disrespectful motivation is a massive, massive motivator to any football team. And it was like today, Jason Kelce was talking about Brendan Graham and his running his mouth before games, and he was chiding at the New York Giants defensive lineman, forget which one it was, but Maxwell, I can't remember. But Brandon Graham's talking trash about to the defensive line, and Jason Kelce had to take him aside and say, "Dude, shut your mouth! I got to block that. I don't need him any more motivated than he already is." So he told BG, he said, "You want to talk to the offense? You go right ahead," because he understands BG does that to get himself hyped. But Jason Kelce was like, "Don't disrespect my opponent that I have to face across the line of scrimmage." So you want to talk about disrespect, you could talk about the Chris Sims, who is already an ass clown. One of the things I loved is when he said that about Jalen, saying that Daniel Jones was still better, people started circulating these videos of Chris Sims as a player, and it's god-awful atrocious. This man has no
place. The Gruden call.
The Gruden. Yes.
QC for Jalen Hurts. QC. Jalen Hurts. QC. So, can you say it again, Coach? Did you say Jalen Hurts, Coach? You can't even call a play, bro. You're talking about a guy that has 12 touchdowns his whole career.
Yes.
But those are the guys that talk the most trash,
exactly,
though.
Exactly.
Skip Bayless is the guys that have never made it.
Yes.
Look how Shannon Sharp talks and look how Skip talks.
Oh, yeah.
It's like night and day. The guy that never made it and is envious. It's envy here. I don't take it as disrespect because it is disrespect, but I just go like, you can't, because we know you can't be serious. it's like, dude, you remember the old saying, your slip is showing? You ever remember, remember that back in the day? Hey, man, your slip is showing. You're showing us who you really are. I don't know if that's your intent, but your slip is showing. My grandma used to use that tone, that term a lot. And the media, it's just so crazy week to week, is that you see this quarterback that just needs to be replaced. Why he's winning, I just think it's unprecedented. Man, I've watched football my whole life. I've never seen a winning quarterback get talk about being replaced. Like, I can see a losing quarterback, but I've just never seen, especially like 15-1, 14-1. You just never see it.
The narrative coming to this season, and we know how media can't get off their narrative, was that Jalen Hurts, he's okay, and they can't get off of it. And the problem is, like I said on Tuesday, is that they've never watched really an Eagles game. They're always watching the Giants or the Niners or whoever, and they're not sitting there and really looking at the Eagles team. If they were, and there are guys out there that praise Jalen, these are guys who, not only Philadelphia guys, but outside of Philadelphia.
Right.
Tony Dungy, for instance, that has seen this guy and knows how good he is. Right. But I don't worry about Chris Sims or Skip Bayless, what they say about Jalen. I could care less about...
Skip loves Jalen.
I'm just saying.
Skip wants to marry Jalen Hurts, but I understand what you're saying.
What I'm saying is, I don't care what any of them say, that have never played the game. When I think the real disrespect comes, I don't think the Eagles players do either. What I think the real disrespect comes is when it comes from the league. And today the NFL nominees for certain awards were announced. Now, Jalen Hurts did get nominated for MVP, which we knew he would. He probably will not win. It's probably going to go to Pat Mahomes, and that's fine, whatever. But here's the list of the MVP finalists. Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Justin Jefferson, Josh Allen, and Joe Burrow. Also, Mahomes, Hurts, and Jefferson were nominated for NFL Offensive Player of the Year. That's fine. But then it's when we get to the other stuff. Jalen Hurts, in fact, said after how he felt about if he's taken a moment to reflect on his journey, and I love this response, he said, "There's no time to reflect because I'm not done." That's a leader. So he's great to be nominated. He's happy about it, but he's not done yet. that this means nothing to him right now. It's about winning the championship. But then you get into other things. Defensive player of the year. You can't explain to me why Hassan Reddick was not nominated for defensive player of the year. Look at this, this tweet from Jeff Kerr from CBS. Players with 16-plus sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 25 quarterback hits, and 3-plus passes defense since 2000. T.J. Watt in 2021, Chandler Jones in 2019, J.J. Watt in 2018, and Hassan Reddick in 2022. That's it. Four guys that have done all of this since 2000.
Man.
And Hassan Reddick doesn't even get nominated for Defensive Player of the Year. And this is a tweet from Hassan Reddick. And this is all he said. At some point, this shit got to stop. And he's right. Nick Bosa was nominated. And he had a great season. Nick Bosa's probably one of the best defensive players of the year. But you can't look me in the eye and say that Hassan Reddick is not at least a nominee for Defensive Player of the Year after all he's done. Look at that. 16-plus sacks, 5 forced fumbles, 25 quarterback hits, 3 passes defense, and not a nominee. Also,
these awards have been
there's more.
The Watts and the Bosas to lose.
There's more.
they start with those and they're to lose. Go on.
There's more. I want to get through all of these real quick.
Yeah.
Comeback player of the year. We talked about it on Tuesday. I thought it was a lock that Brendan Graham, double-digit sacks, consider all the pressure that he's done on this defense. And coming back from an ACL injury where he was out for the entire of last season, comes back to be one of the best defensive ends in the league statistically. And he's not nominated as comeback player of the year. They're going to nominate Geno Smith, who's eliminated, Saquon Barkley, who really tailed off at the end of the year, and Christian McCaffrey. Now, I will give you Christian McCaffrey. He's had an unbelievable comeback season and probably maybe deserves the award. But to not nominate BG is un-freaking believable. And you see Slay's tweet here. How the hell is Brandon Graham not on this list with all these guys that played last year? One more.
Yeah.
AP NFL Coach of the Year. The nominees are Doug Peterson, Brian Daboll of the Giants, and Kyle Shanahan. Nick Sirianni goes 14-1. And this is my spirit animal, this lady here that we saw last year during the Saints game when she just yelled out bullshit. When Eagles fans find out that Nick Sirianni isn't a finalist for AP Coach of the Year Award, how the man is gone 14-3 at a year after they barely made the playoffs and they win the division when most people picked them second or third in the division. A lot of people thought the Giants were going to be over the Eagles this year. Nobody thought the Eagles would be in the NFC championship game. And yet you're saying that a guy that went 3-5-1 in his last 9 games of the regular season, and Brian Daboll, who got beat down twice to Nick Sirianni, is a nominee for Coach of the Year. Now, I'm not saying that the Giants didn't exceed expectations. I'm not saying that he maybe doesn't deserve to be nominated. But again, what I hear when they say that about Sirianni is, well, he already had a good team. Bullshit. Nobody said that going into the season that Nick Sirianni had the best team on the field. They knew that he had pieces. They knew he had pieces. They knew they had A.J. Brown, but they didn't know how well Devontae Smith was going to play this year. Nobody gave Miles Sanders a chance to get over 1,000 yards.
Nobody.
They knew they had Dallas Goedert, but nobody puts Dallas Goedert's name in the top tight ends, which is a travesty. Then you go to the defensive side of the ball. Nobody thought Hassan Reddick was going to have 16-plus sacks this year. Right. Nobody thought Brendan Graham was going to have 10-plus sacks. Nobody thought that the front four was going to have double-digit sacks this year, or that Bradbury would play as well as he did, or C.J. Gardner-Johnson would. All of these were rejects, and yet you're telling me today, when Nick Sirianni is not a nominee, that it's because he has a really good team. That is bullshit.
Yeah.
You look at Kyle Shanahan. If he doesn't get Christian McCaffrey on that team, this team may not be in the NFC Championship game. And you're going to nominate Kyle Shanahan as Coach of the Year over Sirianni when he is the one with the stacked horses that everybody thought would be here.
Right.
Well, they thought it would be with Trey Lance, but it doesn't matter. He had the weapons and the love. This is what I'm talking about going into this game. When I heard all this week, and here's another one again, Coach of the Year, I just wanted to mention this. What happened to Dan Campbell of the Detroit Lions, who did so much more with less than Daboll or Shanahan? And they don't even nominate this guy. So it is a ridiculous amount. These awards don't mean anything, to be honest. What matters is championships. And I'm talking about motivation by disrespect. You can't tell me that one of the things, the only thing I like about this is you can't tell me Sirianni isn't pissed, Brendan Graham isn't pissed, Hassan Reddick isn't pissed, and all of their teammates aren't pissed at the disrespect. Any other team, if this were the Jets, if this were the Patriots, if this were the Dolphins, if this were the Niners, it were 14-3 and the number one seed, they would not be getting this lack of respect that the NFL media and the awards, the NFL organization itself is showing them. So my thing is I retweeted that by Hassan Reddick and I said, just go get the ship, because they can't take that away from you.
Right.
So that's all I got to say about the disrespect stuff.
I was the most surprised at the Sirianni thing. Yeah. I can understand. Well, I didn't understand the Reddick. I don't understand how he wasn't even nominated. That's a bit weird to me, because normally any guys up there that had those type of years, those impact on the best team, you know, like the Eagles had the best record in the league. Well, I mean, I know they tied with, they were tied for the best record in the league. Normally that does come with like a lot of accolades. It just piles on and piles on. And the Eagles did get a lot of accolades from like the All Pro and stuff like that. But Sirianni not even being considered, I think it goes back to like the Jalen Hurts concept. Not as quite, but it's just like, it doesn't matter what I do. He had an incredible, that I thought when we were 13-1, it was already in the bag. Because how can you, but this is the talking out of both sides of their mouth, man. People did not pick the Eagles to go to the Super Bowl, not the playoffs this year. They picked them, so like you said, second or third in the division. So that's one thing. Second, Brian Daboll had the same record as Sirianni last year, and he won a playoff game, fair enough. But Sirianni basically had that 9-7, and he wasn't considered last year. But Sirianni won 9 games last year, and he lost to the Bucs, which is nothing to cry about. Now he got whooped, but so did Daboll. Daboll got whooped by the Eagles like Sirianni got whooped by the Bucs. So for him to be considered, but it just showed they love Daboll all year. Oh, Daboll, look what he did to Josh Allen, and now he's just a guru. Look at him. Managed 7 points against the Eagles that weren't even supposed to be there. Look at him. Went against a quarterback that he knows intimately and couldn't stop him. Look at him. Like, I'm still bothered why he couldn't shut down Jalen, and he knows. I thought he would provide a little more pressure. You know, just off of like, hey, guard the middle, or hey, that hook he throws at 7 yards on average. Just sit in the 7-yard gap. I've seen him do it a million times. Nothing. They were shredded. So I don't know, man. But I do think the Eagles have to establish the run game, man. I think we should just play our game. I don't think we should go in there with any particular mindset. See what they give us. Try to run. Try a pass. Then as the game go on, develop an attack. I think sometimes that would have hurt the Eagles. We come in with a prefab attack and we'll just run it. And we have to wait till these 15-20 plays are over. We're just rolling our eyes, getting these 3 and outs. We're like, what are we doing? That makes no sense. They're like, they're just going down a list of things they've already predetermined. I think if we come out with just see what the defense is giving us, let's start from there. Even if they stop a run, if the run is the option, take the option. If the deep ball is there, take the deep ball. Take it, man, and see if AJ comes down with that ball, man. See if Devontae can get loose. Think things that hurt us is the screens. They take away our screens because they play up so close. Mm-hmm. So even like the Dallas Goedert screen, that hurts us. So we may have to do is run guys out and get dump offs to like Miles and versus the screen. Like we have to get to the flats maybe off of dump offs or, you know, where, you know, kind of like flat or like zero routes by Goddard where he blocks a little bit then kind of goes out to the flat. But I think a screen, they're already coming downhill to begin with. So it's like you're just running right into it. But if a screen does work against that blitz, we're going for six. So, man, I think the Eagles need to play their game from the start. Definitely not underestimating the Niners. They did lose to the Giants earlier this year. I understand it was way earlier this year, but hopefully they get a little tendency back. I don't know, yeah, man.
We'll see.
But if they play us like they played the Dallas Cowboys, they're in trouble against us,
we'll
man.
We'll see.
They're in trouble against us. If, mind you, it's the if. If they play us like they played the Cowboys. Seattle was up at the half against the Niners. So they start slow, and that's our strength. We start a little quicker. So if we start fast and they start slow, they were down in Seattle, they up three against the Niners. No, tie 6-6 against the Niners. Man, they both their playoff games, they haven't, you know, had these incredible starts. They've just grinded out the game. I think the Eagles are a grinded out team. I think we have the grinded out O-line. I think we have the grinded out D-line. Those are our strengths. And then we just have studs behind those strengths. Our line is where we start on both sides. Then you have Jalen, AJ, Dallas, Miles, Devontae, and a plethora of rushers, man, that can really get to it. Not a lot of teams have the privilege that the Eagles have of having quality rotating rushers. You can have rushers rotate. Quality, meaning if Sweat goes out, you have to face Graham. Damn. You know, if Graham goes out, you have to face Quinn that got 18. Damn. And you still have to block our interior nasty guys like Sue. I want Sue to lean on Purdy a little bit. You know what I mean? You know how Sue can be. You know, lean on him a little bit, Sue. Come on, Vance Joseph, lean on him a little bit. Yeah. You know how the veteran guys get in the playoffs. Just lean on him.
Yeah.
And I think if we play our game, man, I think the sky's the limit, man. If we get beat by Brock Purdy, then we would have deserved it because we obviously aren't where we need to be. And maybe we get rid of Gannon.
Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that, about the Gannon thing, because there are rumblings that he is going to be hired as the coach of the Texans, and then the Eagles are heavily pursuing Vic Fangio. And if we do make it to the Super Bowl, then maybe we'll discuss why I don't like Vic Fangio. But that's a whole nother topic. We don't need to go down that road today.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say about the disrespect of Sirianni is the media can't have it both ways. You can't say it's the system and then nominate Jalen Hurts for the MVP.
Good point.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. So if it's the system, then why isn't the coach's system being nominated for Coach of the Year? It doesn't make any sense to me. So
they just kick the can when it comes to the Eagles, man.
It's any excuse that they can give to say why the Eagles aren't nominated. Well, you know what they don't need to be nominated for? And that is for a trip to the Super Bowl. And so that's what's on the line. That is what's on the line this Sunday at 3:00 at the Link. Bosa, Kittle, Purdy against Jalen, Devontae, Dallas, so many others. The stars will be out. The first of two games. We're not going to talk about that other game. I don't really care who the Eagles face. I will say this. What's neat is if the Chiefs win, that'll be the first time brother has faced brother in the Super Bowl with the Kelce brothers. Can you imagine their podcast the week before the Super Bowl? They both make Super Bowl. But we're not there yet.
I mean, yeah, man, that would be amazing.
We're not there yet. But this is going to be the game to end all games. I'm really looking forward to the NFC Championship. Win or lose, love the birds, and I love their chance to get back to another Super Bowl. Let's hope they do it. I know all the Eagles fans out there will be tuned in. And we want to thank all of you for tuning in to the live stream of the Where Eagles Dare podcast, whether that's on YouTube, Facebook Live, or Twitch, and all our regular podcast listeners on Apple Podcast, Amazon Music, and Spotify, and so many others. Thank you so much for being there each and every week. And with all that being said, I'm going to turn it over to Tubby for his final words of the week.
Sir, thanks everybody for coming out. Where Eagles Dare podcast. Man, what a year. What a year so far, man. Man, enjoyed every bit of it, man. Hope I can enjoy some more against a hell of an opponent this weekend, but it's not insurmountable. I think if we play Eagles football, I think we'll walk away with the dub. Picking the birds, man, 27-17. The Niners have never seen anything like it. That said, fly, Eagles, fly.
And go Birds. Let's go to a trip to the Super Bowl, baby. We're going to take you out with the Eagles and Jalen Hurts and Jason Kelce, one of our favorite videos to play, doing the Fly, Eagles, Fly. Have a great weekend and go Birds, baby.